Thank you for those songs, Kurt. Good morning, everybody. It's nice to have some visitors with us today. We're very glad and honored that you came to worship with us. We understand that when people are on vacation and take the time away to go to worship, that is very, very commendable. Have a prayer request from Kathy I'd like to read before we get started. She says, thank you for all the prayers and expressions of love and concern the last few weeks while Mike and I were sick. It was truly uplifting and helped us both so much. It was also a reminder that I need to be better at showing my love and concern to my Christian brothers and sisters. Love you all so very much, Kathy. Tell you, situations like this is a good reminder for all of us. To remember our brothers and sisters, it's easy to kind of get focused in and to look out to others. We're going to look at our lesson today, The Anatomy of a Christian. Don't know if you remember that old game growing up. I learned some of my anatomy from that game. But anyway, God has given us our anatomy. And the scripture reading that Terrence read, and I appreciate Terrence for reading that, comes from Psalm 119, verse 14. And it says, I will praise you. You know, that's a proclamation. It's an announcement, a commitment. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God has given us everything we need to conduct ourselves in this life. For as long as we have here, as long as God grants us this time on earth, He's given us what we need to do His will. One of the things that He has blessed us with are eyes. And keep in mind, you can be totally physically blind and still carry out God's word. God's given us eyes to look for opportunities to serve. They are all around us. A lot of times, some people close their eyes to that. Sometimes, maybe we just don't have the vision to see it. A lot of times, it's right in front of our face to serve. And sometimes we just don't see it. But God has given us eyes to see those opportunities. They may be big opportunities. They may be small opportunities. But they're to serve Him. God has given us eyes to see the best in people. I know sometimes people have 20/20 vision looking at the flaws in other people. I know sometimes my glasses are more like a microscope seeing other people's flaws. But He's given us eyes to see. Not only am I fearfully and wonderfully made, but my brothers and sisters are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I need to see the best in them. It is so easy to see the flaws. But God has given us eyes to see our brothers and sisters, what they can be. And He's also given us eyes to be on the lookout for evil. to be on the lookout for bad influences, to be on the lookout for false doctrine, to be on the lookout for stumbling blocks in our way, to be on the lookout for things that are a distraction away from God. I'd like to look at a few verses. In 1 Samuel, talking about David as king, in verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" We need to have eyes like God. See people like God sees them, not from an earthly viewpoint. We live here. We've got to live on this earth for the time allotted us. But we don't have to be of it. Try to see how God sees. One of the last things that Paul wrote to his beloved Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:5, he's telling him, "But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." But he tells him, be watchful. You keep your eyes open for the teachings that might be out there that are false, that you might need to correct. Be on the watch for the things that your brothers and sisters might need from you as you fulfill your ministry. Because your brothers and sisters, they may need to hear certain things at certain times. Sometimes they may need a sermon that you wrap your arms around them. And sometimes they may need a sermon where you dust off your shoe and give them a little swift kick in the backside. You be watchful in all things. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, 4, he says, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interest." We tend to look out pretty good for that. We usually don't overlook that one. But also, look out for the interest of others. Sometimes that's a little harder to do, because maybe we're focusing too much on that first part. Jesus gave a lesson to his followers in Matthew 13. And he says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. For generations people preached about the coming of the Messiah. They preached Jesus. They foretold of Jesus. But they never got to see it." And Jesus is telling them they longed for it. They would have loved to have seen what you get to see and hear. You're in the presence of it. God has given us ears to be able to listen to God's word. And you can listen to God's word even if you're deaf. You may not have the physical ability to hear auditory sounds, but you can listen to God's word. You can listen and learn from others, from their teachings, when they present lessons. You can listen and learn from their mistakes. My dad used to say, a smart person learns from their mistakes, but a wise person learns from somebody else's mistakes. Maybe not have to go through it yourself, but we can listen and learn from others. God's given us ears to even listen to others. You know, sometimes that's all that's needed. Is somebody might just need to be validated, to verbally express things in their minds. All those words sometimes are jumbled around in here, and sometimes they just maybe need to say it to somebody. A problem, a burden that's been weighing them down. That's what's so good about prayer, is being able to express it to God. But what a great thing to be able to be that benefit to somebody else, to share a triumph you've had, to share a burden, to share a concern. God has given us those ears to help each other. Romans 10:17, I hope many of you have probably memorized this verse. It's been said quite often from this pulpit and from classes. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Acts 18:8, we see, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Look at the joyous, righteous things that come after hearing God's word, or can come. A lot of people hear, but it ends there. They don't do anything with it. The Corinthians did. James tells us, and I tell you, I heard somebody, I don't remember, I think it might have been Dick, that if we did this one, it would cut out a lot of problems we encounter as Christians. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man, and it's not just males, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I know I'll just go out on the limb there. I sometimes get those mixed up. I remember all the words, but I get the order mixed up sometimes. I sometimes want to jump right in and go immediately to wrath. Be like Peter, start swinging that sword. Swift to speak sometimes. But the order is swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. God's given us a mouth. Some of us use it more than others. We can use that mouth to teach, but also to lead astray. We can use that mouth to build up, but also it can be used to discourage. We can use that mouth to praise, but also to curse. and condemn. Not just curse words, but to condemn. Romans 10:10, we see Paul telling the Christians in Rome, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It leads to, when we make that great confession, the same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made, the same confession that Peter made to Jesus, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that leads to salvation. We see it carried out. We see the living embodiment of the scripture we just looked at here in the middle of the desert with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As they're traveling along, they've been studying about Jesus. And they get to water, and the eunuch asks, well, here's water, why can't I be baptized? And in verse 37, then Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Nothing's stopping you. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we see that they stopped the chariot. They both went down into the water. And that man was saved. 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed. You have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He did that with his mouth. He also did that with his life. By the way he lived his life, he confessed daily that he believed in Jesus and that Jesus was the Son of God and that I follow him. But he's given us a mouth to be able to do that. This is the same confession that Timothy made, that the eunuch made. It's the same confession that Melaine made just a couple of weeks ago, right before she was baptized. James 3:10, we see the double-edged sword of the mouth. James says, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. With this same mouth, you praise God, but with that same mouth, you condemn things. You condemn God. You condemn your brothers and sisters. What was that in the old cowboy movies? Speak with forked tongue. That's this. You're saying one thing, but then you're saying something else. God's given us a heart. We have to have a pure heart. There's no way around that. As a Christian, we have to have a pure heart. We treasure the things that we hold close in our heart. Every one of us have things that are near and dear to us. We treasure those things. We hold those dear. They're not lightly forgotten. Matthew 5:8, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not only will they see God eventually, but those pure in heart, others will get to see God through them. They will get to see God through those with a pure heart. Mark 7:6, talking about Jesus. He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.'" They didn't have a heart for God. They go through the motions. Jesus is saying, they honor me with their lips. They're going through the motions of praising me, but their heart's not in it. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." The things that we hold near and dear will be in our hearts. And he's given us feet. Sometimes they're smelly. Sometimes Stacy teases me that my feet look like Fred Flintstone's feet. Big old... the box that the shoes come in usually fit my feet better than the shoes. My feet are square. They're as wide as they are. You know, I'm as wide as I am long. But our feet carry us to do God's work. They take us to the work. Mark 16:20. "And they went out and preached." They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. They went out. Sometimes you got to go out. It's great when people come in. It's easy preaching here, because the people want to hear something. They're coming in. They're turning themselves in. But here it says, they went out and preached everywhere to people that wanted to hear it and to some people that may not have wanted to hear it. Their feet carried them to God's work. In Acts 8:4, "Therefore those who were scattered..." There was a great persecution against Christians, and they were scattered. "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Kind of backfired on the people that thought they were snuffing out Christianity. "We will make the persecution so bad that the Christians scattered and they went everywhere." But when they did, they preached the word of God everywhere they went. Romans 10. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" And it's not just talking about the guy up front. "Without somebody preaching to them. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things.'" Those people that go and carry the gospel with them in their daily walks of life. Some people go halfway around the world to preach the gospel. You can preach the gospel to the person in the next room of your house. You can preach the gospel to that person at the other desk. You can preach the gospel to your neighbor. You can preach the gospel to the checker at the grocery store. Just by the way you live and conduct your life. "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." let us use. God has given us great things, great abilities, great methods to use to share His gospel. But we've got to use them. As we go into this new week, as we go out, as our feet take us out, let us use the things that God has given us. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, repentance, prayers, identifying with wanting to work and worship with us here at South Valley, I urge you to come as we are led in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.